جان. Amen. We thank God for giving us another opportunity to be here. Our Lord and our God, we are very grateful this morning as we come into your presence, to this meeting. We thank you very much, for this is the day you have made. We are joyful, we praise your name, we glorify your name, we are thankful to be part of what you are doing in these last days. We thank you for your dealings in our lives. We thank you for your grace, for your mercies. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the strength that you give. Thank you for your admonition, your instruction, your righteousness, so that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. We thank you for your word that you have given, for instruction. Even what you have given today, the word you have commanded, that the portion you have given to us, we receive it with thanksgiving. We open our hearts that you might put in your word by quickening us. We just bless you, God. We pray that you might give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We are looking at the word that we are giving for this weekend. It's about midnight and about oil and about the virgins. And last night we started off with just looking at, you know, different aspects, more like an introduction. Today we are going to climb up higher. We are going to try to move a little bit. And in my opinion, in order to make it not too stressful, I notice there are quite a number of children. I'm thinking of breaking into two sessions. So we'll have the first part, and then we'll have a little break, maybe 20 minutes break, so that you don't go away from him. And then we'll start again, and then end. So that way, it's not too strong on our bodies. We can get to have time to just shake off the stress of sitting for a long time, and then come back again. So we'll have two sessions, two sides to it. So we are speaking about oil. Oil speaks of does many things. We know oil represents energy, represents the natural. Everybody uses oil. There are different types of oil, natural. But in the spirit, the oil represents the life and the energy of God. The oil. So it speaks of the life of Christ. That's what the oil represents. And you need oil. Without this life, we can't operate, we can't function. So it's very critical. If the engine is functioning and there's no oil, it's going to knock engine. It's going to, I can see there are some engineers here, so they will tell us that it will knock. You can't get anywhere with oil. So without oil, but when there's oil, there is smooth operation. The biggest and greatest engine I know is the engine of the mind, is the engine of the soul. And by the grace of God, I think we should be able to touch the mind today. Before we finish, we should end up with the mind. Certainly tomorrow we'll be talking about the mind. So we're moving on from, you know, just building up. The mind is the most important part of the soul, the most important component of the believer. And the most important thing to God is your mind, is the mind. And it's also important to the devil. So the devil has focused, he has invested in the mind. But the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. It is our inheritance. And even today, as we go on, we are trusting that the mind of Christ will come and feed us, will minister to us, will strengthen us. You know, the mind of man is of no use. My mind is of no use. So I'm trusting that the mind of Christ will minister to us, will strengthen us, will feed us, will break down the word, make it practical, give us the principles, show us what to do. It's all the mind of Christ. Amen. You know, so last night we were talking about, I'll just do a quick recap and then we'll go from there. Last night we were talking about the five virgins, the wise and the foolish virgin. The difference is oil. Oil is the difference between the wise and the foolish virgin. And the oil, we have talked about what the oil is. And we also spoke about the virgin. We didn't talk too much about the virgin because that's, well, going too far from where we are. But the virgin in the natural is a woman or a man that has not mingled with another person in intimate relationship. But the Bible has told us, we know, that when the Bible talks about marriage, it's not just marriage of the body. The soul also marries, and the spirit also marries. Even though, we are, like I said yesterday, many times we are only preoccupied with the activities of the body. But the man, as we saw yesterday, has three parts. And all these three parts of man are fully functional. Amen. So give you an example. I have to say, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Amen. So spirit joins spirit. So also soul joins soul. You know, say the soul of Jonathan was what? Knit with what? The soul of David. Is that in your Bible? Yes. So as man is, that's how you also have different levels of joining association. These things have been hidden from us, and because of it, we have not been victorious. We have been bound. We have made wrong decisions. We have not used our capacities, our gifts, our calling to the maximum. But those things are in the past, because the church is moving forward. God is bringing maturity, is bringing strength. God said, now is come salvation and strength to the church. Amen. So this is not a time at all to give up. If anything, it's a time to receive strength to run on, because the salvation of the church has come. The help we need has come. You know, so we're speaking about the complete man. The complete message for the complete man. As a message for the body, the message for the soul, and the message for the spirit. And that message is Christ. Amen. The fullness of Christ. You know, we didn't talk about Christ much is the what God is like Christ, that concept. We'll be getting into it this morning. You know, so we saw yesterday that man has three parts: the spirit, soul, and the body. You know, Paul says, "I pray your spirit and soul and body be fully sanctified." So we know that those are the three elements. Sometimes in the Old Testament, he uses certain words to describe the same thing. Sometimes it interchanges, because there are some words in the Bible that are compound words. They can refer to the spirit or refer to the soul. But the Greek is much more rich, so it makes that differentiation between the spirit, the soul, and the body. So when you put it together, that's very clear. And then we went on to say, as we saw what Paul was saying, Paul, because he was fully grounded in the Greek, was fully grounded in the Hebrew, being a scholar of the word, was taught by the very best, Gamaliel. You know, he was properly schooled, so he knew the proper traditions of the scriptures. So Paul began to talk about the inward man and the outward man. So he says, though the inward man perishes, the outward man is what? Sorry, the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed. Okay? So, if something is being renewed, it also means the opposite cannot happen. That means the outward man can also continue to be stronger while the inward man is dying day and day. Do you understand? So there is it's not a static. It's either the inward man is resurrected, as it were, actually that's what it should be, is coming to life, or the inward man is dying, even becoming more and more and more separated from God, and then the outward man is ruling, you know, is strong. The plan of God is that the inward man might overshadow the outward man. That is the spiritual man. That is the Son of God. The Son of God is one in whom the inward man has fully matured, and matured in the things of God to put down the outward man. Amen. That is a he that has no rule over his own spirit. It's like a city that's what? Broken down without war. Amen. So he that is slow to anger is stronger than a mighty man that wins the whole city. Amen. So in God's mind, strength has speaking about what is happening within you. That inward man, the ability of that man to put down the darkness within the soul. Amen. We will talk about the soul a little bit going forward, but I was just trying to just summarize quickly what we did last night. You know, so he separated the outward man from the inward man. You know, and we saw that the outward man is the body. Outward man operates by senses, by faculty. Well, whether you call it senses or organs, whatever it is, it just means that there are five things that make your body what it is. Your ability to hear. You are hearing all kinds of noises. You are receiving information through your ears. The body receives information through the eyes. You can taste, you can touch, and of course, smell. Those are the five senses, you know, and those are is a reflection of the capacity in the spirit that God has. Amen. So we saw that Psalm 94 says, "He that planted the ears does not hear." I'm sure you will not be in this room if God does not hear you. Amen.
God hears you.
You know, he says that he even hears a little whisper. Where is the whisper? Is the whisper in your mouth? So you speak. Where do you speak? Deep down. So God has ears to hear deep down. You don't know what. The realm of the spirit is a realm of hearing words. The trumpets of God. Why would God be speaking to you when you cannot hear the spirit? Do you understand? So down at this lower realm, in fact, there's not too much speaking, just the noise men are making. But in the spirit there is a lot of speaking. He said there were voices and thundering and earthquakes. And what are those? Those are the speakings, the trumpets of God. And it is meant for somebody. It's meant for you. So you need to have the capacity to hear God within your soul, within your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so for a long time I have been convinced I can't hear God. But that's not true. Amen. Everybody in this room has the capacity to hear God and hear God very, very well. But to do that you have to grow it. You have to give your ears. You have to come closer. You have to tune your ears to hear at that frequency that God speaks. You know. So these are some of the basic things we are looking at. About the nature of God. We are created in the nature of God and in His image. Amen. So he says the gods of the people, of the idols. I'm sure in your villages you have these idols. Some families even have idols. You know, they have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, they can see. So how is God different from them? Because God sees. He sees into every heart. He sees both in the darkness and in the light. The darkness and light are both alike in him. God hears. Can you imagine someone that can hear every heart in the whole universe at the same time? That is a lot of power. Amen. But God hears every heart. And not just hears, but he has the capacity to respond. Amen. So you call him the El Shaddai, the all sufficient God. Hallelujah. So how would you relate to God if he can't hear you? Read the Psalms, you know God hears. Elijah cried, he didn't even speak too much. He said, "Oh Lord, hear me." And fire came down. The other ones were jumping and shouting all over the place. He said, "Oh Lord, hear me." And God heard him. Hallelujah. So we're speaking about a living God and a living relationship with God. Hallelujah. So today, you can hear God. You speak to God, He hears you, He responds to you. That is the reality we are speaking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, and of course, we talked a little bit about the oil and the ministry and so on. But today we are going to go forward. You know. So we are looking at oil for the virgin. Alright? So let's look at the word virgin. We were saying in the natural, who is a virgin? It's someone who has not, come into an intimate relationship. And I was just looking at the natural. Of course, as we have said, in the spirit also, there must be a declination. Amen. Uh-huh. So, in the spirit, it's speaking of something. In the spirit is speaking about spiritual coming together, spiritual intercourse, spiritual joining. Amen. And the Bible says he, that's 1 Corinthians 6, he that is joined, when you say he, who is the he? Is it the body? Or is he your soul? Or is he your spirit? It must be one of those. Either one, two, or the three of them. Amen. So when he says he, he must be referring to something. Hallelujah. You know? And when God is speaking, he's speaking to the soul, he's speaking to you. Because the Bible tells us that when a man dies, what happens to him? The three components come apart. Is it not so? Ecclesiastes tells us the body goes where? it goes down. Amen. The spirit goes where? See, the spirit goes back to God that made it. Hallelujah. Then what happens to the soul? The soul goes to God for judgment. The Bible says, appointed unto men once to die. After that, so what is the judgment for? The judgment is to make, is for measurement. They're measuring the harvest of the seed planted. That was the seed planted. And that is the oil we're talking about. Amen. There is a seed that is planted. The soul is like a ground, a field. Okay, you plant, you must harvest. Hallelujah. So, when the Bible talks about have a virgin, it's speaking about a pure, clean land where the seed of Christ has to be planted. Amen. Let's look at Genesis 8:22. Can you read it for us? Genesis 8:22. So it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. I'm interested, I don't know what I'm interested in. It's seed time and harvest. So when you have a seed and you plant the seed, that seed is going to have a harvest time. Amen. So he's speaking about seasons. There are seasons in God. He says, there is a time to plant. There's also a time for harvest. Amen. So there is a time for harvest for us. So let's look at an example of seed time. An angel came to a woman, a young lady. Was she a virgin? Was she a virgin? Okay, what's the lady's name? Mary. Is that her name? Good. So Mary was there, and the angel came to her. Hallelujah. You know, because I have a lot of scriptures to read, so I won't read many of them. I'll say it out, so, and then I'm sure we will know where it is, so that we can cover a lot of ground. So it says, the angel came to Mary, and he said something to the woman. He said this. He said that the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and the seed, or well, I don't know, some translation says the thing, but we know that the seed shall be planted in you, shall be the Son of the Highest. So in other words, the angel brought a seed and planted it where? In the womb of Mary. Amen. And that seed grew and became a man that was manifested on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the prophetic speaking, in the prophetic application, because every word that you hear, even the one you're hearing now, is coming at three levels. There is a natural application of the word, that is the story that you are reading. Okay, we're reading about Mary. Mary, a young lady. Mary, a young virgin. That's one level. Alright? But we also know that at the spiritual level, because there is the letter of the word, there is the spirit of the word, and every spiritual manifestation has a seed time and a fullness, a harvest. Amen. So, Mary is a woman. But we know in the spirit that the woman speaks of the church, isn't it? Amen. But the church has the individual part and the whole. Okay, so there is the individual part of the church. And that individual part of the church is the soul. So the fullness of virgin of a woman is not just the natural woman, not just the church as a woman, but speaking about your soul as the woman that is to be joined to Christ. Amen. So if you only limit it to just story of Mary, we are greatly shutting ourselves out of a whole lot of reality. The reality I know to overcome anger. You understand? That's why we are doing this, because we need to understand, because there is a spirit of anger. That spirit of anger may be ancestral, or it may be something that began from you by an interaction you had. You understand? So if a spirit is working, it must have the fullness. A spirit comes to marry, to join. A spirit is coming to do for life. I don't know if you understand. Any spirit that you are dealing with must have life to function. And it's coming to take the life from you. You know, so we are trying to go a little bit to the foundation to see how these principles function, to see how we can apply it in our lives so that we can overcome. Amen. Because every day we are faced with this battle. That we say we wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. Peter talks about fleshly lusts that will do what? That war against the soul. There's a word. When we talked about the soul yesterday, we are looking at the mind. We are looking at the emotions, the desires, the will. The emotion and desire, when you put them together, we call them passion. That is a lot of force and energy. Yes. I'm coming. So I was saying that the word of God comes to us in three dimensions. That's what I was saying. So every word that you see, when you begin to break it up, you see, you can see the three aspects, the three dimensions. The natural, Mary was a woman, you know, it's a natural girl. But you see, that's not all the story about Mary. In the spirit, Mary is the type of the church. Is that clear? Good. Now, Mary is not just a type of the church, but Mary also relates to the soul. Because the soul is feminine. You understand? The soul must be married. Amen. And the soul must be joined either to God or joined to the devil. Alright? So the soul must be overshadowed by a stronger spirit. Okay, and that spirit either is joined to Christ or joined to and in actual fact, it's freedom of light and darkness are the ultimate dimension. You know, because we are speaking about oil. And this oil is not just for your body, we are speaking about your soul. Oil is the soul. You know, to bring oil in the soul, then you have to look at all the relationships of the soul, the things. And then we are saying, when you talk about the soul, it looks big, but it's very practical. We are talking about my mind, the way my mind is working, the way my feelings, the things I feel. You know, my feeling, somebody, you know, feeling can be around. Somebody says something, say your head. They say, sister, so and so, this. What would you do? You're not going to react. It's your feeling is coming from, isn't it? Uh-huh. So, we are looking at how can we apply these things in our everyday relationships? When you are living with your husband, your children, your brethren, people you are at work, we need to overcome in all those situations. When you go to the village, how do you relate to your, you know all the demands? How do you relate to them? You know, when it comes to traditions, how do you relate to them? Those are the things that we are looking at. You know, and they come very much in question. And if you do not have strength in your soul, your own strength will overcome you. So you see yourself beggarly, servant, you know, submitting to things because you don't have the energy to resist it. Because Bible says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You need energy. You need strength to say no to the devil. Amen. So what we are trying to do is to see how can we have access to this energy, this oil, and how can we keep it, and how can we increase the oil that we have so that we can overcome. Amen. So, and I will say that, you know, so you have those three levels, and I was giving the example of Mary that received a seed. She received a seed in her womb, in her national womb. Amen. And because she received that seed, it grew and manifested and brought forth the Son. But for me and you, that experience of the natural, of course, if there's a woman here who is wants to have a baby, God can bring that to be in the natural. So we can't do that. So God works in that natural. But right now we're looking at the spiritual experience where my soul is that womb that must receive the seed. And what I was going to say is that the seed we're speaking about is the seed of Christ. Amen. So that's the seed that must be received, that must be introduced into the soul, you know, to bring forth another seed, to bring forth life, to bring forth Christ. So what God, the plan of God, is to, like we read in Genesis 8:22, is for a harvest of Christ in my soul, for the nature of Christ to take over my soul. Amen. Now, for that to happen, please, can you help me? For that to happen, it means that the seed of Christ must be introduced into my soul. Okay, and then we know that there is a scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know it? So Christ in me, the hope of glory. You hope for what you don't have, is that true? So Christ in me means the fullness of Christ has not yet come. It's just a seed. It's just something that has been planted, which has the capacity to grow, to bring forth the fullness of Christ within me. So, I'm just looking at how to put it. Alright, so now, let's look at the soul. Because I want to go one step further. Now, to look at the soul, to fully understand and appreciate what we're looking at. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God took the soil, isn't it? Took the earth and he breathed it into it, is that correct? And man became a living soul. Amen. Now, this creation of God, this thing that God created, was having fellowship with God, was related with God, until sin came. And when the sin came, something happened to that soul. What happened to it? The soul died. That would say soul died. So what is it, when you say soul died, what is it that happened? There was something that was introduced. What was it that was introduced? The Bible says something called good and evil. There was another seed that was introduced. Is that correct? It says that the woman and the man eventually that they ate a fruit. There was something that was introduced into the soul. And the Bible says in the day that you do it, you will continue to die. So, in other words, he was supposed to take of the tree of life. And when you talk about life, you are speaking about light. In the scriptures, when you see light, he's speaking of life. Okay, so let's read a little bit to get that basis, then we'll move on. If you look at John chapter 1, look at verse 4, John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, in him, okay, are you reading? It's in him was life. And the life was what? The light of men. Amen. So in it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. In him was what? Life. And that life was what? The light of men. So you see, in the spirit, you are looking at life, you are looking at light. Amen. Okay, it doesn't end there. Look at verse 8. You see, it was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light. Which does what? Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What is that? That's a spiritual language. But it's really about the soul. Alright? It's really about a man. So, we can confirm it in the scripture. Alright? David said, behold, I was what? I was shaping in what? In iniquity. And in sin did my mother. Okay? So he's talking about the same darkness. So there is darkness. Where did the darkness come from? Darkness, we can trace it to that Genesis chapter 3 event. That's when darkness entered the soul. Amen. So we see darkness within the soul. But on the other hand, we see a hope for that soul. Light. And it is in one man, and that man is who? Jesus Christ. Amen. So light can come into the soul, life can come into the soul through the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. So how do I get light into my soul, into my mind, into my emotions, into my desire? Amen. I've heard news that is burdening my mind, that's weighing me down, depressed. They say I have cancer, for example. You're going to do tests. They say you have cancer. 6 months you are going to die. What are you going to do about it? You need light. You need energy in your mind. You need energy, strength in your emotion. If not, you guys, you will be, in fact, you are completely broken. Midnight has come. Midnight is not a date. Midnight is a spiritual reality that can come to a man. Hallelujah. Say, brother. Midnight is an experience. It comes suddenly. Darkness. A calamity that comes. Trouble comes. That is ready to carry you hand, foot, and sweep you. But you need energy. You need oil in your soul, in your mind, to switch on the light. We talk about this light. You see the light, you see the fan, you see the wire. There is current, energy flowing. And we saw the scripture yesterday. It says that the spirit of man is what? No, it's connected to a bigger light. That's what that scripture is telling you. That your spirit is connected to an energy, a power station in the heavens. Amen. We saw it yesterday. We saw the light. Yeah? You don't know it. Many of us don't know it. We walk through life not knowing it. We're only looking at our body. Bible said that God dwells in the heaven. Where does your soul dwell? Also in heaven. Depends on the type of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a power station, an energy source called Jehovah in the heavens. And the Bible said that your soul and your spirit are connected to it. If you don't have to switch it on. Hallelujah. Amen. So when they give you a report, Jehoshaphat got the report. What did he do? He said, Abel, he put it aside. He took the report to the temple. He said, God, see the report. What are you saying about him? Hallelujah. Amen. Whose report will you believe? But the thing is that you must have the ability to what? Open the window. I tell you the story of a man called Daniel. What did Daniel do? They came to him, they said, if we catch you praying again, you will hear from us. God said three times he will pray. You know what Daniel did? If you read it, he said that Daniel will open the chambers of his house towards the east. Amen. Three times he will open the chamber. You know what the chamber is? Where is the chamber? The chamber is that connection you have with your father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know how to open the chamber to heaven? When you open the chamber, the river of that river we talked about yesterday from the spirit will flow into your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's going to wash away every refuge of lies. Every report that is not of God. I'm speaking English, but we're not talking about English. We are speaking about reality. Hallelujah. We're speaking about a relationship with your Father. Where heaven is communicating with you. Where the life of heaven is reporting in your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. You know? So, the scripture is telling us that the soul of man fell, came into darkness, darkness entered it. But there is a hope for it. And what is the hope? That hope is Christ, in that experience of Christ. In other words, Christ must come into the soul. Now, I'm going to another level now. Now, when Christ comes into his soul, the Bible tells us that the Christ that comes into the soul will grow, will multiply. What that means is that it will begin to bring the soul under his influence, under his control. It will change the nature of the soul and cause the nature of the soul to be like Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You will say amen. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Christ in your soul is to take over the soul. Hallelujah. Now, what does the scripture say? It says, thou will love the Lord your God with what? With part of the soul. With what? All the soul. All the mind. All the strength. Everything is all. In other words, when Christ comes in, he is coming to take over. But we have been resisting it. I have been resisting it. I still want to be in charge. Let Christ be a passenger. Hallelujah. So, the Bible tells us there is a difference between Christ in you and what? You in Christ. Hallelujah. If Christ is you, you are in control. Yes, Christ is there. But it's just a nominal, just there. You know the scripture that comes to me is Isaiah 7. Is it 7 or 4? It says seven women. You see the women again? Women is, remember how we define women? We say women is not just a natural woman. It's speaking about the church, but the important thing. He's speaking about the soul. Amen. He says, seven women will take hold of one man. What did they say? Let us be called by your name. Many Christians have a name, they don't have a God. You have a name that you belong to so and so. I belong to so and so. I belong to so and so. But there is no God. Because God must rule. In fact, God means rule. That lordship, that means complete control. And there is something that we talk about, we may not talk about it today. The beheading of the soul, that is the transfer of control. It's a powerful thing now. Within the soul, power must change hands. Somebody must lose authority. Christ must get, but there must be a point where Christ takes over. That is speaking about, I think it's a little bit more right. That means I come to the place in my experience where something breaks and Christ begins to have authority. So I'm speaking, so we're looking at Christ coming into the soul. How does that happen? Because how Christ comes into the soul is how I will get oil into my soul. Amen. It's how to increase the oil in my soul. Because we said, in him was life, and the life was the light, to lighten the darkness, that every man, every child, is comes into this world with darkness ruling over the soul. Amen. So when we look at the soul, there are many things there. So let's try to count. One, there is the nature of the soul as it is. Two, there is, by the way, this soul, this nature of the soul became corrupted. So it, because it became fallen, it was a fallen nature. It was not, it no longer what it was. It became corrupted. Therefore, it must be resurrected, it must be brought back into what it was before. Two, darkness entered into the soul by that Genesis chapter 3 experience, where good and evil. Good and evil is evil. Because that is that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. So light with darkness is evil. It's not God. Amen. So darkness entered into man. So does the soul of man, does the darkness in the man. Amen. Now if there is darkness, there are spirits that feed on the darkness. That is one that is of interest to us. There are dark natured spirits. There are spirits that receive energy from darkness. Amen. So it is in the interest of those spirits for the darkness in me to grow, multiply. Because the more those spirits are growing, what is happening? They are becoming stronger and are becoming weaker. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read the scripture. You'll find it. Isaiah 60. What does Isaiah 60 say? Let's find it. Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. I hope we understand the prophetic language. When the Bible talks about earth, He's speaking of man. Amen. Because man was taken from the earth. Hallelujah. So he says, he said, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And what? Gross darkness. Where? The people. When he says the people, is it that when you look at them, you see that they are wearing darkness as a natural cloth? The darkness is where? In the soul. Where is the darkness? In the mind. Where is the darkness? In the emotions, in the desire, in the will. Somebody is going on the road. He sees a crowd of people. He drives the car into the crowd of people. Comes out of the car with a knife and starts stabbing people. What do you think is going on? He's telling you the darkness has increased. And that darkness has increased also manifest in me. Hallelujah. Are you surprised at the measure of the onslaught of darkness in the church? What you are reading in the newspaper, seeing on television, is a reality that wants to affect me also. I may not drive into a pack of people, but I can attack my brethren in my mind. There's a pressure to think evil. There's a pressure to believe evil, receive evil reports. Do you know what's going on? It's the darkness. Hallelujah. If I do not have oil, I will believe it. I will receive the evil report. And I will accommodate it. I will begin to incubate it. I will multiply it and I will disperse it. That's the nature of the soul. Amen. The mind is an industry. Hallelujah. There's a word that says the machinations. A machine. The man is a machine. It forms ideas. Amen. This story you are looking at was an idea of some men. They met together and said, we are going to live in this place. We will do here, we will do this. We stay here for years, but it's coming. There are also plans. There is a lot with the capital development territory. It was planned. Where was it? Amen. Somebody sat down and drew the map and said, this is going to be. This one will be this. This one. It was an idea. Amen. But today is a reality. So also, the mind is the industry that can multiply. So when darkness comes, it's working in the mind. Do you wonder why you wake up in the morning, everybody is behaving alike? Do you know why? It's the result of an activity in the realm of the spirit. Amen. Ideas have been deposited in the souls of men. And they wake up in the morning, they start carrying it out. Hallelujah. Now, in the church, we have not understood spiritual warfare. We think life is just get up, I want to be a good boy, I want to be a good man, I want to have a family, I want to do this. It's much more than that. Bible talks about spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Is in the high places in my soul. That's where the war is. Bible said there was a war where? In heaven. Heaven is speaking about the soul. When you hear heaven, think about your soul. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heaven. There is the first heaven here. You go out there, look at it, you see it, the sky. You know, you go very, very far. Nothing is happening there. That is the first heaven. You see a few aeroplanes, things, some objects moving. That's all you will see. But there is another heaven. And there is a heaven of heavens. Amen. The Bible says that the heaven of heavens belong to what? God. There's no trouble there. But there's another heaven where there is trouble. And that is the heaven within us. Hallelujah. The message God gave to us, the message about the sons of God, is that a people will receive this word, receive this seed of Christ. That seed of Christ will multiply in them to such an extent that they will drive away the devil from the heaven within the soul. Amen. That is the message we have been given. Amen. But the thing is, like I have a brother that says, nobody is going to tear your farm for you. Nobody will build your farm for you. Amen. You have to till your ground. You must buy the oil. Amen. Somebody went and said, please give me of your oil. They said, no, this type of oil, you go to the market to buy it. Hallelujah. And we're discussing how we can buy oil. How we can use the oil that we have bought. And how we can get the oil. Somebody wants the oil. Amen. So God put Adam right there in the midst. And I don't know what he was thinking, but somebody else was interested in that garden. And he came up. He didn't take long, he manifested. You know. There is an adversary. And that adversary is walking in the spirit. He wants what we have. The devil has no access to life. He has no access to the light of God. But he sees somebody that he thinks and he believes he can manipulate and take his oil. Amen. So the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Above everything, get wisdom. Because if you have wisdom, you will overcome the strange woman. You will overcome, you know, that evil man that comes. And he's coming, the devil comes for to kill, to steal. Amen. And destroy. And all that he's doing, he wants life. He wants, you know. So we're saying within the soul, you have the nature of the soul, you have the darkness, and then you have the spirits that feed on the darkness. Amen. So it says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So it's telling me, darkness wants to increase in my soul, in my emotions, in my desires, in my will. It's pressing. There's a pressure. A pressure. Amen. Sometimes they call it peer pressure. Well, like for young people, they have their own peer pressure. The older people, they have their own. The older men, older women. Everybody has that. What it means is, as a pressing, something is pressing. And you cannot overcome except you have energy. Amen. So, we're looking at the nature of the soul so that we can properly see and understand the functioning. You know? So, Christ is planted in the midst. The seed of Christ. Yes. Yes. There is a nature of the soul. That's your mind, emotion, will. Those are the four components of your soul. Eh? Uh-huh. Those are the four components. Yes. That's it. Yeah, that's the nature of the soul. But apart from that, you also have darkness in the soul. You see that? Uh-huh. And apart from that, there are spirits that feed on the darkness. Alright? Uh-huh. And then, I'm saying many things. I'm hoping you'll forgive me for saying too many things at the same time. But I'm trying to... I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to see how I can get there. So, I'm expecting that you ask questions. So I'm saying many things are packing them along the road, so we can have question time, so that I can come back and explain. Amen. Okay. And then, so you are looking at the soul nature, the different natures of the soul as it is. All right. If someone has a house, the soul is the dwelling place of God. It's a house. But inside that house, there is darkness. Amen. And there are spirits that feed on the darkness. They follow the darkness where it is. So they also follow the darkness. They come there. Amen. And apart from that, you also have the souls of other people around you. Amen. Who also put the pressure on you. So you have to overcome the darkness. You have to overcome the spirits that go with the darkness. And you have to overcome the mind of other people who are also pressurizing you. Amen. So you have to overcome the world. You have to overcome your own fallen nature. Amen. Then you overcome the darkness and overcome the spirits of darkness. Amen. The Bible says that we are sufficient. We are not sufficient unto those things, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not by power or by mind, but by the Spirit of God. So we are looking at God's plan to change the nature of my soul. Okay, that's actually what we're talking about, bringing oil. Oil is the nature of Christ. Let's go back to that John 1. You can see John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 4. Verse 5. See, and the light does what? Shineth in darkness. And that's the good news. And the darkness cannot overcome the light. Amen. Darkness cannot overwhelm the light. It's the other way around. Amen. So it says, where sin did abound, what happens? Grace did much more abound. So there's no excuse for any of us. By the way, just to make sure that I do not have any excuse for lack of oil in my emotion. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. And there was nothing, no amount of pressure that he did not endure. Amen. His emotion was tested to the limits. Yet without sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says the same spirit, the same oil that was in Christ Jesus is the same spirit that is in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he overcame because of the spirit. Say, the same spirit that was in Christ, that raised him from the dead, is the same spirit that's working to also raise and quicken my soul. Hallelujah. So if he overcame, I can. I do not have any option but to overcome. So we are called to overcome. There must be something for you to overcome. If not, you will not be overcoming. There must be a challenge. Amen. I look at it. He brought them into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. Guess what he said? He says, look at these Anakims. They are taller. They are like the mountains, like the trees. They dwell in the mountains. They have cities walled up to heaven. And they have chariots of iron. I said, go and drive them out. Amen. You have to be an overcoming. But he says, I will go before you and I will drive them out. Hallelujah. Amen. But they have to believe. Some say, no, they are giants and we are what? Grasshoppers. Is that what we are saying today? I cannot overcome anger. There's no way you can overcome anger unless it is tested. Don't you understand? Somebody must defend your character. Say, that brother, he so and so and so. And you hear it. And you have the evidence. What are you going to do with the evidence? We have to all the story. You have to investigate it. You have all the story. The person has defamed their character. Amen. So it's up to you. You can say that person is not even born again. He is not a brother. He is so and so and so. No problem. Hallelujah. But God is giving you and I an opportunity to what? Hallelujah. It's the same thing as saying, our God is a God of grasshoppers. And he will not be able to, we cannot overcome. So, we are speaking about light in the soul. So we need to move just one step further. Now, how does oil come into the soul? Let us go to Leviticus. Remember, we said we'll take a break, about 20 minutes or 30 to just stretch our legs. We'll come back and then finish. So we're having two sessions so that it will be good. Our bodies can bear it. We can have the strength to go through. Leviticus. I always mix it up. But let me mention here. Leviticus 17. 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Amen. Amen. And he said, I've given it to you where? Upon the altar. To do what? To make atonement for what? The soul. For it is the blood that does what? Makes atonement for the soul. The good news for the soul is what? Blood. Amen. So yesterday, when I drew the picture of the soul, the mind, will, emotion, and desire, you can see these dots, these red dots, they represent blood on the soul. Amen. That's the first principle. So when we come to the tabernacle, you know, I'm sure many of us know, the first thing you meet in the tabernacle is the altar. The altar has four sides, and they speak of the four natures in the soul. So we have nature one, nature two, nature three, nature four. And each of these altars or corners, there has a horn. There is a horn. What does horn speak of? What does horn speak of? Horn speaks of power, strength. You know that Nigerian people are very strong people. Amen. That people, you don't want to agree. We are strong people, though. Nigerian people, you agree with this, sister? We are very strong. Amen. So that means we are speaking about the soul. Yesterday I asked the question. I said, this is temple number one, the real temple of God. Jesus said, destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'll do what? I will raise it up. And he said he was speaking of what? The temple of Israel. Paul said, do you not know that you are what? The temple of the living God. Amen. Ephesians said, we're being built up a spiritual house. Amen. Peter says, we are being built up as lively stones, as a spiritual house. So everybody, in the Bible agrees that you are a walking, living, talking temple. He says, as the beseech you, brethren, to do what? Present yourself as what? As a living sacrifice. Other grammar I'm speaking. I ask a question. I say, if you are the temple, where is the altar? Where is the altar? And who is the minister in the altar, in your temple? I can give you a clue. David says, my soul praise the Lord. Is it in your Bible? My soul praise the Lord. Let everything that is within me do what? Praise the Lord. So there's a new priest. Amen. And when you go to Revelation, you see the priest in action. There are 24 of them, 24 elders. What are they doing? They are saying, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. So there is a new priesthood. In time, there's a new priesthood. We're not talking about that today, but I wanted to talk about this oil and the blood. So the blood is applied at the four corners of the altar. When they kill the animal, the Bible says that the priest will take the blood and do what? He will touch it at the four corners of the altar. That is how blood comes into the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the blood makes atonement, washes the soul. So in the Old Testament, blood was put at the corners of the altar. But for us in the New Testament, when somebody comes and says, I receive Jesus, amen, this person is truly born again, what happens is that the blood of Jesus is applied in the spirit, applied to the soul. Amen. Because the Bible says it is the soul that sinneth that shall die. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. The Bible says it is the soul that sinneth that shall die. Amen. Therefore, it is that soul that must be redeemed, that must be forgiven. Amen. So, blood is applied. And we are told that this blood is not just ordinary blood. Now we know blood, there is a place where it says even blood speaks. Do you know where it is in the Bible? Have you seen blood that is speaking? So the blood of Abel does what? Speaks. So that means that there is life in it. So it says the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So in the blood of Jesus there was life. And the Bible tells us that life is what? The life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see the way God has designed for life and life to come into my soul. Amen. Now, this life and life that comes, is it a one event? Is it something that just happens and stops? John tells us that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what happens? That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. From what? All sin. Amen. So that is a continuous activity. Amen. To cleanse the soul from darkness, from sin. Amen. And not just to cleanse, but to bring light. Hallelujah. But to bring life. And the life and light is for the natures of the soul. So the blood of Jesus brings life to my mind, to my emotions, to my desire, and to my will. Amen. In other words, there is a constant supply of the life of God through that river of the blood. Amen. We sing the song that there is a river that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Do you know it? Amen. So there is a flow of life. As a flow of life. Hallelujah. Someone will sing the song, I am under the blood. Eh? I am under the blood. The blood that is higher than I. Jehovah, hide me. I am under the blood. Amen. That blood is there. And you want to go to. Remember, we are speaking about midnight. Because at midnight, something is going to happen. Already, we are seeing the sign of midnight. And there are some bad spirits that have been let loose. They don't know, brother. They are looking for only one sign. Sign of the blood. Where? On the forehead. The Bible says forehead is what? It's a mind. Amen! Do you have the blood on your mind? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Exodus. We'll come to Revelation, then we'll continue. Now, in Exodus, he says at midnight, he told him, say, look, every household. Do you know the household? This is the household. This is the household. He said, a lamp for a household. Amen. Amen. Every household must have a lamb. And that lamb is a lamb of Calvary. Amen. He says you must take the blood and do what? On the lintel, on the doorpost. It must be there. Hallelujah. I say that when I see the blood, what will I do? Hallelujah. Do you have the blood? Do you think you have the blood? You still have the blood. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the angel of death came. You know that he took him. He took him. Amen. The Bible says they shall gather. Then they shall be broken. Amen. Why would they be broken? Because they will see the blood. Amen. But you see, blood speaks of covenant. It's a two-way thing. If I walk outside of the covenant, assuming one Israelite says, no, let me go and collect something. My child is sick, let me go and get something from my neighbor's house at midnight. What is going to happen? Tell me what will happen. Eh? Hallelujah. The Bible says, when we break the hedge, eh? God's insurance does not provide for disobedience. Amen. God's insurance does not provide for rebellion. Amen. God's insurance does not provide for when we are walking outside of the city of refuge. I've said several things. Amen. God has an insurance for the blood. I must stay under the blood. I must keep my feet under the blood. Hallelujah. I must keep my soul tightly under the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. I must make sure that darkness does not infringe. Our Bible says that is my responsibility, to stay under the blood. Let me just read Revelation 9 quickly. I will come back. We are still talking about blood, life, the life of Christ in the soul. But we are picking certain things and applying it. Revelation 9, 1 to 4. Somebody reading for us, Revelation 9, 1 to 4. Quickly, let's just take that and we'll go on.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to me was given the key of the bottomless pit.
Amen. So you see, those locusts were looking for something. What were they looking for? The men that have the seal. Where? On the forehead. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must have a seal on the forehead, on the mind. And if we go to Revelation number 7, remember we are still talking of midnight, so read 1 to 3. Revelation 7, 1 to 3. Amen. So it said there was a ministry that came from the east with the seal on the forehead. Hallelujah. So this forehead, this mind must be very important. Like I said, we'll talk about it later. But we were saying, we are talking about the seal of the blood. The blood is applied on the soul. And that blood brings the life of God into the soul. It brings not just the life of God, it brings the light of God into the soul. And we have seen that this blood is always flowing. Amen. So if a believer, you have your mind contaminated, how can you decontaminate your mind? By applying the blood. Hallelujah. Now, if you understand that you are the priest in this temple, who is to do it? It's your job to bring the blood and apply it on your mind to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. That is a clean habit, a clean animal. A clean believer must know how to wash himself from filth. Amen. The Bible knows that filth will come. You will hear things. Amen. But when you hear, what do? You bring the blood. And you wash your mind. You wash your thoughts. Wash your emotions. And it is clean. Amen. So you as a believer must learn how to keep clean. Keep your emotions clean and healthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why we are given the blood. We must know how to use it. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at another scripture that's talking about life in the soul. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, that is 2. Chapter 4. Verse 4 and 6. No. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Read verse 5, 7.
But we have this treasure in every person, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of
us. Amen. So we see another place telling us directly about the light shining. Amen. That God has commanded light to what? Shine into the darkness within the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So you and I will have access to light, because darkness will come into the soul. Darkness will come in different forms. The problem is not the darkness. The problem is my ability to bring forth light in the midst of the darkness. To have access to light in the midst of the darkness. Now, we also told in that scripture that there is a blindness. There is a covering over the mind, over the soul. Let me just read one scripture in that light, then we'll go on. Ephesians, let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 17 and 18. Go on. Okay. So he's saying there's a blindness in the heart. There's a blindness in the mind. So remember, I told you about the darkness. Now there is a darkness in the soul. Man is born into the world with darkness, blind. He doesn't know God. The soul comes into the world as a stranger to God. He doesn't know God. So the eyes must be opened. The soul must come to a point where we receive a revelation of Christ with a personal revelation of Christ. Amen. And we begin to see. And we begin to know Him personally as a Father. Amen. So it's just of an experience. Every one of us in this room must have a personal experience. Those who are old, it's not a matter of how old I have been a Christian, it's how much have my eyes been opened. It's possible for me to be an old-time Christian and I've never seen enough. Amen. We saw it yesterday. Paul was praying that the eyes of understanding might be opened, that we may know. If my eyes are not open, I will not be able to know. No matter how old I have been around hearing this word. Amen. So it's possible to be hearing and not seeing. Amen. And the man says, Lord, that you might open my eyes. Someone say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you. Amen. So there is an experience that we must come to. There is a place we must come to where the life of God comes to us, comes into the soul. And the scripture tells us that when the light comes into the soul, it's like a light in the darkness that begins to shine brighter and brighter until the day dawn. Amen. And the darkness. So the scripture gives us the understanding that when the soul, see the soul, we call it blazing altar. That is the English language. Blazing altar means that the soul has come into a place of judgment. That word is brass. Brass means judgment. The soul has come to a place of judgment because it has been functioning as a Gentile soul. Amen. Walking in the vanity of the mind. Walking as one who doesn't know that God even existed. Amen. That the man says, they said the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Amen. So here, the man sees the kingdom. The kingdom is the only place that the holiness of God. It is one thing to see, it is another thing to enter. Amen. And he said, you are born of the water and of the spirit. You cannot enter. So we are still speaking about oil in the soul. So the soul, for going through these experiences, must progress in life. Must progress in the life of God. Must begin to grow. That life, that energy, the life of God, must begin to grow within the soul. Amen. And now, let's read, I think, after this one. I don't know whether it's getting to time for a short break. It's 1.5 hours now. So, let's read Deuteronomy 16:16. Deuteronomy 16:16. We are talking about Christ in the soul. Christ in the soul must grow. The light of Christ in the soul must increase until the day dawn. That means no more darkness within the soul. Amen. So the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the day dawn. No more darkness within my soul. That was it. There was no more place found for the devil. You must believe it, that there is that place where you and I can come to, and the devil will no more have any access in the heaven of our soul. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy 16:16 is very easy to remember. 16:16. Alright, what does it say? 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place in which you shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and you shall not appear before the Lord empty. Amen. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord, that God which he has given thee. Amen. So he said everybody has an appointment with God. 3 appointments. 3 appointments for the soul. The soul must go through 3 levels of growth, of change. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. The soul must have 3 levels of growth. We'll mention them, and I think we will take a break. We'll come back quickly, and then we will get to 1 or 2 of them, and then we'll close. The first one, he called it the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is the same thing as Passover. It's the same thing as the born again experience. That's what we're talking about. The experience of the brass altar of brass is the first contact, the first covenant, the first activity is Passover. Passover was when they came out of Egypt. I won't go into it. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about Passover. It is the journey out of Egypt to the promised land. Amen. It's also the journey of the soul out of darkness back into a union with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Every soul must be left back. Hallelujah. The Bible says, when the trumpet of Jubilee sounds, everybody, wherever you are a slave, you are a bondman, you are this and that. Amen. When you hear the trumpet of Jubilee, what happens? Time to go. And Jesus says, this is the day of Jubilee. Amen. That trumpet of Jubilee sounded out, and we have been called to return back. Hallelujah. Would you go back? In Babylon, when the decree was made, everybody go back after 70 years. Some people had married wives, they had business, they had this, they had that. Hallelujah. It was difficult to relocate. Hallelujah. Many of us, we have dug deep in Egypt. We have dug deep in the world. We have dug deep we like the world. We are excited at the world. Amen. We will have careers. We have this. Amen. Hallelujah. If it says it's a time for every man to return back. Hallelujah. Do you hear the trumpet? We sing the song. For my soul has heard the sound of the trumpet. I hear the trumpet sounding in my innermost being. I must flee to the mountain. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are three experiences. The first two experiences are in the outer court. The second experience is the experience of baptism. You can see the labor, you can see the water. Amen. Water baptism is for the body. Amen. There is a second one, the baptism of the Spirit. It's for the Spirit. Amen. The next one man, the baptism of the soul. And that is where Christ comes in. Hallelujah. Christ is for the soul. But unless my body and my spirit is baptized, the soul cannot go. Hallelujah. Amen. So Christ wants to come into the soul and baptize the soul. Amen. As you take the sponge and put it inside water, you bring it out the soul. Amen. That's how the spirit is taken and put it into the spirit. And you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. So also, Christ that comes into your soul must baptize the soul. Amen. So Christ must grow. Christ must take over. Hallelujah. We are speaking about a reality that we must come into. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We must come into that reality. You know, so that is the second feast. The feast of all Pentecost. Some people call it feast of weeks. Because after Passover, you count 50 weeks. Amen. And actually 49 days, the 50th day becomes, you have the 50 days, not 50 weeks. The 50th day is the day of Pentecost. Pent means 5, 50. Amen. It's the feast celebrated after Pentecost, after Passover. After we are born again, we must move on and come in the second experience to the place of baptism. Baptism for the body, baptism for the soul, and baptism for the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's exciting that my spirit has been baptized. We will see it. But how about my soul? That is my emotions, my desire, my will must be baptized into Christ. Somebody is about to die. Hallelujah. That is the death to self message. Oil in my emotion. Hallelujah. Oil in my desire. Oil in my relationships. Power, energy, light, and judgment of darkness. That is what it speaks of. So we will draw the curtain here, and we will take a short break. And then we'll come back and finish. Is that alright? Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for the time you are giving to us. You say the entrance of your word bring your light. We thank you for the light of your word that has come in. We receive the washing by your word. We receive the nourishing by your word, by the blood, by your spirit. We receive the endowment, the quickening, the upliftment that has come by the ministry of the word. We thank you for the bread. We thank you for the seed that you have given to us. We give it back to you that you might bless it with understanding. That you might have the ability to hide our word, hide your word. But say, how shall a young man overcome? By taking heed to your word. Say, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We receive your word, we will write it upon the tables of our hearts, that we might be overcomers over the things that beset us, over the weights, over the things that we fight with. We bless your name and glorify your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So let's take it's like 1:25. So we'll probably start by 2 and see if we can finish by 3 or so. 3:30. Amen. Yeah, 20 minutes.
We are having a very short break just to stretch out our legs. We have some water here. We want to drink water. We want to drink our campaign. We want to go out and stretch our legs. Do so. We listen to the news. We come back every day.
Augustine, I was going to call you.
I forgot. So I was very happy when you walked in.
I know.
I'm fine, how you did?
I walked in.
In the track.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Yeah, money, no. Oh, yeah. Hello. Thank God. Hello.
I'm going to have this
watch my every month. But you give me at least that's in the interim, that's instead of being a big hour, because I might take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
us online? Is it from your own?
No, my book from me.
Okay, is it from this one?
So you can connect your.
Malay of that airport in Dubuque?
Small airport or the Malay one?
The Malay one.
Thank you. And that's who they see me and I'm glad that they're here.
No, seriously. And most times, very close, but where you see that the management has
keep balance of Tuesday.
When it comes to education, you're supposed to look at the people that are teaching the classroom as higher than the parents that brought their students to school to come and learn. In common, I'm sometimes respect and listening. And listening here. Now, you see, when you discipline your students for something that is wrong, they dare to come to the to school. And even the management itself, now even what they are teaching.
Yes, that's right.
well. Hope is going well.
Yeah, as soon as
but I hope the meeting is going well.
Yes, very well, very well, very well.
Come for the gospel, and they had that God.
something. One big thing or something.
Everybody
got to do it.